Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Looking at Psalm 4, I was repeatedly drawn to verses 4 and 5. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. I like to read at least two versions of a possible scripture lesson to be sure of the consistency of the message and the subtlety of the message in various translations and versions. For these two verses, I ended up reading 8 different versions. Now, why did I read so many versions? Because there's no real consistency in the translation of the first part of verse 4. The New Revised Standard Version says, when you are disturbed. The New Century Bible says, when you are angry. The Revised Standard Version says, be angry. The Common English says, so be afraid. The Modern English says, be agitated. The New American Standard says, tremble. The King James says, stand in awe. The Living Bible says, standing before the Lord in awe. Obviously, there's not a 100% consistency of the translation of the Hebrew to English. But for the remainder of our time this morning, I felt led to consider the slant of the first 5. All of them relate to being upset, using the terms disturbed, angry, afraid, agitated. Have not most of us, I believe this is a time I can go farther out on the limb and say, haven't all of us experienced every single one of these emotions? And one thing that is consistent in all of these translations is the psalmist acknowledges that unfortunately from time to time we're going to be in that place. Now, although the psalmist acknowledges that we all find ourselves in some form of being upset from time to time, even though they're not all translated exactly the same, the translations are all consistent in that the psalmist declares, basically, you're going to get upset from time to time. You might as well face it. But there are right ways and wrong ways to deal with it. All versions are consistent in that we are instructed when we are upset to do not sin. Ponder it on your bed and be silent. John's translation, sleep on it and pray about it. Offer right sacrifices. 21st century application, do the right thing. Trust the Lord. How much healthier would our relationships be in all arenas of life if we lived by these four principles? Those of y'all who know me real well, hear the psalm, not necessarily what I have done. Hear what the psalmist is recommending. You know, we try to avoid it as well as we should try to avoid it. But is there a single person in this room this morning who can honestly raise their hand and say they've never gotten crossed up with another person, even someone they love deeply? Can anybody honestly say that? The psalmist instructs, when you get crossed up, do not sin. We could go all morning on that one alone, could we not? For many of us, that one concept alone is enough of a struggle. The most elementary definition of sin is anything contrary to the will of God. So when my wires get crossed with another person, my calling is to respond to the person like Jesus would. Now, a few self-examination questions might consist of such as these, and these don't exhaust it. Would Jesus have the thoughts toward this other person that I'm having? Would Jesus respond with the words and the tone of voice that I just did? Would Jesus act toward the other person the way I am? Now somebody might respond, but John, you don't get it. They're the problem. They're the ones that can't see that they're wrong. Well, number one, don't we all feel that way when we get crossed up? John, you don't get it. They're the problem. They just can't see that they're the problem. They deserve every thought I've had about them. They deserve every word I've said. They deserve every act. Well, I'm not going to argue that point with you. I'm just going to concede it to you. Maybe so. Maybe so. We've all felt that way more than once. But what did our mamas or our teachers tell us? I always got told, Johnny, two wrongs don't make a right. I hear the psalmist saying, there are times when you're going to have every single legitimate reason to be upset. But even so, do not sin. Two wrongs don't make a right. The psalmist further instructs that we should ponder it on your bed and be silent. Now, this could be a sermon or lesson in itself. I hear the instruction that when we get crossed up with another person, avoid responding immediately, sleep on it, and pray about it. I sure wish I had done that more often. I'm praying I will do it more often, but I sure wish I had done that more often. Because I don't know about you, but I have found so many times that when I've gotten crossed up with another person, it's not really the issue, but it's the way we reacted and responded and related to each other. And 9 times out of 10, if I would not have not responded immediately, I would have responded so much differently later on. Am I the only one in this room that resembles that remark? The psalmist instructed, ponder it on your bed and be silent. To ponder is to consider something deeply and thoroughly, to meditate on something. But how often do we react in an unthought out, knee-jerk emotional response when we are upset? I believe if the psalmist was standing up here and speaking to us, he may say something like this. Before you do or say anything, consider the issue deeply and thoroughly. There's probably more behind the emotions of the other person than the surface appearance. Consult the teaching of Scripture in this type of situation. Pray about the situation and not only about the other person's perspective, hoping they'll come over to your side, but pray about you and how you're looking at it and how you're responding. Remember, prayer is speaking to God, and then prayer is listening for God. And God can speak in many ways. Obviously, Scripture. We men may not want to admit it, but the advice of our spouse, the advice of a trusted brother or sister in Christ, a biblically consistent inclination in our spirit. Do not say or do anything from a knee-jerk reaction. Seek God's counsel. Imagine how many relationships could be healed if we refrained from reaction and pondered and prayed and followed God's guidance. Imagine how many relationships might not get crossed up in the first place if we pondered and prayed and seek God's guidance. In verse 5, the psalmist continues, offer right sacrifices or sacrifices of righteousness. Now, obviously, the psalm is written during the sacrificial system of worship. Now, though from a literal and academic scholarly perspective, I believe the New Century Bible took some license in their translation of verse 5. I believe it conveys a very relevant message to Christians of the 21st century. And it says, do what is right as a sacrifice to the Lord. John's translation for the 21st century Christian, do the right thing. Now, granted, there are some times when we've got to make a financial decision. There are times when we've got to make a medical decision. There's times when we've got to make a job decision when what we should do is not obvious. But I would venture to guess every single one of us, at least 99% of the time, knows the right thing when it comes to our relationships. Now, do you notice I said, we know the right thing? Knowing the right thing and doing the right thing is not the same thing. Because see, don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. It takes two people to reconcile. But that's not my responsibility. My responsibility in the relationship is to do the right thing. I realize that the other person may not respond in a positive way. The other person may respond the way in completely opposite. But our responsibility is to do the right thing. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12, 16 through 18? Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And then he says, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. How many times have we not done the right thing that we knew was the right thing because of pride? Well, I bet I'll never hear an apology from them, even though I apologize and we were both wrong. That's pride. I'm not going to apologize to you unless you apologize to me. Is that the right thing? Let me ask you. No. Pride so often keeps us from doing the right thing. And fear keeps us from doing the right thing. What if I go and I apologize sincerely and then they chew me out again? Not my call. My call is to do the right thing. As much as it depends on me, live peaceably with all. If there is friction, if a relationship cannot be reconciled, we do not want it to be because of us. We're called to do the right thing. And then the psalmist instructs, trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord is to rely on the integrity, the strength, the ability, and the surety of God. Trusting the Lord, we know God will always guide us in the right way. If we're trusting in the Lord and we're really in communication with God, God's not going to take us down the wrong road, even if that road doesn't end in the place that we want it to. Trusting the Lord, we know God loves us and will not abandon us, even if we're the cause of the cross up. It may be totally my fault, but God still loves me, and God will show me what my right thing to do is to reconcile. God loves us and will grant us the strength to do the right thing, even though we may be avoiding because of fear or pride. And God knows the situation better than I do. And thus God will grant us, if we will listen, the wisdom to know the right thing and then the strength to do the right thing. And God loves us, and therefore we don't have to worry about the situation if we're willing to trust the Lord. And then notice verse 8, the psalmist concludes, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. So I've got a promise for you this morning. You're going to get mad again. I'm sorry, it's going to happen. It may be with your spouse, it may be with a close friend, but you're going to get crossed up again. And the next time that happens, don't sin. The next time that happens, avoid responding immediately. Sleep on it. Pray about it. The next time that happens, do the right thing. You'll know what it is when you calm down. Do the right thing. And in all of it, trust the Lord. And if we do, we'll go to bed, we'll lie down, and we'll sleep in peace. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings so well. Yet you still love us. And Lord, you know as human beings from time to time, we get crossed up. And when we get crossed up, we open the door, unintentionally, but we open the door to pride and fear. And unfortunately, so many times, relationships disintegrate. Gracious Lord, we want to avoid going there as often as we can. So Lord, we would just pray that you would give us the Spirit so that, first of all, we would go there as little as possible. But when we find ourselves crossed up, help us to avoid sin. Help us to not respond immediately. Help us to sleep on it and pray about it. Strengthen us to do the right thing. Enable us to trust you so that we might lie down and sleep in peace. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.